Welcome to Myopia Movies. Oh, Canon Film, why must you be so delicious? This week we're watching the Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie, Over the Top. I will put on our Facebook group a series of children's toys that was made for Over the Top. But you'll learn everything about, well, how to properly treat Valvoline poisoning, to what a terrifying person Robert Loggia is, and how little Sylvester Stallone can act and still make a movie. If you're not a member of our Patreon, please consider joining patreon.com/myopia. If you are interested in comedy, I guess, my Cineprov has a Patreon as well, patreon.com/cineprov. Also, please consider giving us a review wherever you listen. We haven't gotten any new reviews in a while. I think that would be great. Thanks. Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we're watching the Canon Picture, Over the Top, starring Sly Stallone and Robert Loggia. I am host Nick Hoffman and Riffer on Cineprov, and on panel we have
Matthew W. Quinn, who at some point is going to be doing live readings of his book, Little People, Big Guns, on YouTube.
Very good.
Nort Chernet. I just wander here from time to time.
And he's not a little person.
I'm not a little what?
Because you're tall.
And I'm Lauren, and I will challenge any of you three gentlemen to an arm wrestling contest now.
So this movie makes no sense. It is a charming father-son heartthrob lifetime movie, and also a sport movie about the sport of arm.
Don't forget the power ballots.
Dude, this movie is so much.
Mm-hmm.
So much.
So much sweaty men and power ballads, as Nur pointed out.
That's right. Now, Mr. Jeanette, you have notes in front of you. You want to try to give us a plot of this?
Oh, yeah, sure. All right, so we open the movie as a son. I don't know. How old is he?
Who 12.
He's 12.
12. He's 12. Something like that. He's graduating or finishing the school year from this military academy where he was about to go visit his grandfather and his mother, where his estranged father, Sylvester Stallone, what was the name of the character?
Lincoln Hawk.
Or Hawks.
Hawks, as many people say this. The movie then starts as a father and son try to bond on the way to see their mother, which has a type of disease, heart disease, and I guess we just go through the trial and tribulations of the father and son bonding, while the grandfather just tries to put them, you know, rip them apart. And somehow in this movie, it's a bonding movie along with a sports arm wrestling movie, and I really enjoyed the movie because it was heartwarming. It showed a lot of meat sweat, and I found a way to arm wrestle now, you know?
So. Over the Top, which we are almost positive is a cheating move.
Is it?
I have no idea.
There are several instances where Sylvester Stallone does some sort of weird hand grip thing on his opponents during arm wrestling called Over the Top.
He goes over the top as he.
Which.
Oh, is that why the movie's called Over the Top?
I think so.
You're like Peter Griffin from Family Guy.
So
that's why it's called that.
Dude, and they even say the titular line like several times. He's going over the top. There's a song called Over the Top. Go over the top!
That missed my head so many times.
Dude, my goodness gracious.
Because while we're watching this movie together, I was dying laughing by your Sly impersonations, which I was trying to do.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Adrian, see, I can't do it.
Is, you know,
Sylvester
Stallone screaming and sweating and yelling and shit.
Yeah, I don't know. These impersonations are getting worse and worse. So we're gonna do it the whole time.
Okay.
Please.
Because my father-in-law is a douchebag.
Yeah. So Lincoln Hawk is this truck driver, and not a very good one, I guess, because on the side he has to do this arm wrestling hustles at these like random bars mm-hmm. as he's on this bonding trip that with his son that the dying mom set up, yeah. but they don't know that she's dying. It's all very confusing.
Well, it's weird. She has what what is just a dying disease. We don't know. She's just looking faint. And in every,
they just say heart disease. She's getting
worse and worse with each phone call.
But that's what I was going to say. Like, the first time they talk, like, she's up and around, like, in a chair, and then she's in a chair, and then she's in a hospital bed hooked up to everything, and then she has surgery the next day, and she dies on the table. And again, it's just, it's so much is happening where, like, the first time you're introduced to her, you're like, oh, she's gonna die. Like, cause she's pale as hell, but there's also just cards and flowers everywhere, and you're just like, oh, so she's just not making it,
I guess. There's like 15 dialysis in there, right. You know? It's like one respiratory, you know, just, ugh.
But I mean, I guess we should start with the very beginning, which is insane. There's a graduation ceremony, and if he's 12, he's like graduating from middle school?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Some military academy.
And then we smash cut to Sylvester Stallone cleaning his truck, right? And he's just wearing overalls and like, it's important that it's clean. And
more important than my son's graduation.
Dude, you're doing a Bullwinkle and it's amazing.
if only Daniel was here.
And he right? It's becoming more like
I think you'll
really enjoy.
I didn't get the invitation to the graduation. So I don't know.
He is late to everything,
but he shows up late to this kid's graduation, and then he's just in the commandant's room, like, "I'm here to pick up my son," and the commandant's like, "He's here to pick you up. He's your father."
Yeah, no one questions. No one asks for ID. He's like, I'm not supposed to go home with anyone but my mom and grandfather. Like, why is the 12-year-old having more common sense than anyone?
And when he asks for identification, he pulls up, like, a wedding picture of him and his mom. Like, that's well, the guy.
And again, was Photoshop it's not even aged. It's like, right, they didn't put makeup on him or anything. They didn't fade the photo. So it's just the woman who is now in the hospital and Lincoln Hawk wearing his suspender, his formal suspenders, which is what he's wearing now and at the funeral, and that's it. It's really something. Mm-hmm.
I will say this, like, the kid screams. I did theater all throughout high school, middle school, and all that kind of stuff, because I used to be one of those kids too, because there's some that level of confidence, like that kid that can do ballads and always just falsetto and stuff, and I can really see how he was just... Honestly, he was the best actor in this whole movie.
I agree.
He's a 90s precocious kid 3 years early. That's how he came off to me.
Yeah, I mean, he is a little dipshit.
Yeah.
And Stallone does everything in his power not to punch this kid.
He runs across a highway. Yeah. This little shit kid literally gets out of the truck and runs across a highway.
I was doing this during the movie because every time I was like, I either want to kick this kid or hug him. And at the end of this, I have lines that I was like, okay, you said this, I want to drop kick you. This, I want to hug you. I don't want to spoil the movie, so I'll do it towards the end. So, yeah.
I mean, this movie is truly something. Like, this is a lot.
No, but you bring up a great point. I thought that kid was a great actor, actually. Mm-hmm. I thought, especially for being so young, I thought he was one of the best actors in this whole thing.
Let's look him up and see if he did anything.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I got you.
He can cry like that? Like, that's pretty impressive.
Dude, he cries for about half of this movie. It's a lot.
Yeah, because every adult in this movie is an asshole or... at least has bad taste in men, like I'm guessing his mom did.
Well, he's also experiencing major trauma. His mother dies, and then he's like his father that abandoned him, like, picks him up for 3 days. Like, it's just a lot to process.
That's right.
The dude's currently 49 years old.
He is, because that's how old we are.
That's how old you are, not me. but I think the latest thing that he's done, according to this, was in 2014. Oh. Over the Top, and this last movie he did was called A Help from Above. I don't know if that's like...
Okay.
Well, I mean, he also is in a future movie, future Stay Tuned movie, the animated Transformers movie from the 1980s, along with Orson Welles and Leonard Nimoy, where he plays Witwicky, the one that Shia LaBeouf plays in the live-action one. And he's also in the Bobcat Goldthwait movie, God Bless America, which is phenomenal.
phenomenal. It's just he. It's a movie where an out of work guy just starts killing right wingers. It's Bob Kemp
Goldthwait. It's funny.
No,
yeah, that's what it is.
The plot keywords include BlackBerry cell phone, so you know it's good.
So they're traveling across. They're trying to go from Colorado to California, apparently. Mm-hmm. And this is supposed to be like a bonding experience. And so the kid gets out and uses a payphone to call people, which I thought was hilarious, and then runs across the highway. But then they bond because he lets him drive his truck.
The kid is being such a little know-it-all. He's like, okay, yeah, you drive this truck. Drive. And he eventually manages to do it on a deserted road for about a mile.
Right, but the whole thing is like, you think of, because the kid goes like, you know, you don't just have to work out. Sometimes you could read a book or something, because the kid is a jackass.
Where? While he's driving?
While he's driving a truck. There's no books here. And you're like, first of all, fuck you, kid.
Well,
like,
first really? Of all, let's talk about this truck, because this truck got its own home gym. That little recliner thing.
Well, we do have to mention,
I need that in my car.
For real.
After running across the road, they kind of hug it out, and they spend their first night together in the truck, right? And Stillen goes, you know, if you wanted to like lie on my shoulder, you could. And it's
that's okay, sir. I'm fine.
Sir.
He keeps calling his dad sir, not in like a 50s child to adult way, but like a military way.
Well, and like he's Peppermint Patty, and there's some weird sexual tension here. And I say sexual tension because the next morning there's a working out montage with the two of them. With the sunrise behind them.
Morning workout.
This is not a Sylvester Stallone movie unless there's a workout montage, man. It's Rocky.
And they're talking about health food. When we get to the first diner, and he's like, I can go for a steak. And Dad's like, are you Hawk? I need to wrestle you for $1,000. And they go in the back room with this
Hawk. Did he say, are you hot? I thought he said, are you hot?
He said
that's
hot.
Not that kind of bar. No, that's what I said. I was like, is he saying, are you hot?
Huh. I think he said, are you Hawk?
Yeah.
The guy with the skullet is definitely saying, are you Hawk?
Yeah, because it's like part of the underground arm wrestling circuit.
Dude, there's a fight club. There's a fight club circuit here for arm wrestling. And I don't know if the Knocking Gullen heard about it and immediately thought there was an underground world for this. By the way, I know we're talking canon, so I have to bring up Electric Boogaloo, the documentary, but like, this movie is done, like, funded by the Israeli mob. Like, it just smells like it. And then they ran out of money, and so everything from about halfway on is branded. Like, he's driving around a Brute, and the guy's drinking Valvoline.
Yes,
and
drinking motor oil.
And there's, like, oh god, what is it? Soloflex ads and stuff, and there's Duracell. Because you go through, and it's set up like there's a fucking race expo. But there's batteries, and Alka-Seltzer, and Bengay, and it's just, this movie would smell terrible if it was in Smell-O-Vision. It's just greasily diners and lubed-up men wrestling.
Yeah, so much grunting and muscular men, and, you know, the kid heard it and probably came in and think it was relieved to find out it wasn't something else.
I mean,
so the first time this guy, like Nick was saying, is like, I need to wrestle you for $1,000, you're Hawk. So he's just like, okay. And he leaves his son alone in the next room.
And some other and, like, muscle some monster other, comes
yeah,
in.
Like, the guy him. From the end shows yeah, up and he's like, is that your dad?
He's like, I'm gonna smash
him. That's not creepy at all.
Dude, yeah, if creepy. I'm that man, I'm not touching any kids. Because everyone's immediately going to assume the worst. And I know this is Reagan's America and there weren't laws about that yet. But like, this dude just comes up and grabs his kid by the shoulder and goes, is that your dad? And you're just like, no, don't touch me. Where's a waitress? Where's anyone? And they're all watching these two men just grab each other.
Speaking of men grabbing each other, do you know how many people got slapped in this movie and it wasn't fighting?
Men slapping each other in the face.
Grizzly is just like, and there's just a goo goo guy, and he's like,
in case y'all don't know, Hoffman like slapped himself twice.
And he eats a cigar.
He's smoking.
Smoking.
This guy is like a method actor too. He shut out tobacco for a week. I mean, he also chugs Valvoline. He sticks a straw in a can of Valvoline, man.
And that's where we get Alka-Seltzer.
The next scene, he's like, oh, like a wrestler with a sex tape. He's just breathing heavy and taking Alka-Seltzer.
The movie in which everyone has testosterone poisoning.
Oh, that's right.
So Sylvester wins by doing this move he wins this $1,000 by doing this move called Over the Top, where he like does his thumb over his, which we don't know is legal. We're not sure.
He pivots his hand, like using his thumb, he pivots his hand so the four fingers are on top of the knuckle.
I guess it is.
And then he throws his shoulder, which seems like it should be cheating.
There were, I mean, not to spoil, but like at the end, there was like 8 refs, and they all saw that, and yet, didn't say anything.
And yet, Bull headbutts him and breaks his nose, throws the punch or whatever it is.
It's Vegas. Anything happens, you know.
Dude, so you're saying it's like a WWE nonsense, where like there's a little razor somewhere, so he cuts himself.
Yeah.
I see. But you know, but you're right though. Just in that. How could there not be like an Andre the Giant at the end? Like, actually have a dude, like hire Hulk Hogan to be one of these guys, you know, like, or Randy Savage. I'm gonna get you. Like coming at him like
this. Made in 87. Those would have been good candidates, right? Like,
I mean, but you know, Turner wants that big bucks. You know, but Iron Golem has exactly like this much budget.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, just have him breathe fire just for no reason.
Yeah, totally. Like the Undertaker just kind of appears in the background, like just like shirking around the corners.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Sheik starts swearing about how great a rock is, something like that.
Sergeant Slaughter, maybe?
The 90s was a great time for television, or you just don't get it.
I mean, I got Keenan and Kel. That's all I got. I started watching
SNL. It's a shame you missed Good Burger, because we did that like 4 years ago.
It's all good. It's all good.
You're right.
It's all bad. It's all bad.
Come on. That's Good Burger. Yeah. So they have to go from Colorado to California, obviously, to meet. And, you know, they have some classic montages, father and son bonding and throughout learning how to drive a car and everything. And then apparently the grandfather is not too hot about the father coming to life because, you know, I guess you raised this kid.
Right.
And apparently, you know, the father, Sylvester Stallone's character, Hawk, was writing his kid, but he never got the letters, hence why he went into the highway. Because I guess he was hyperventilating and stuff, and then, and we get to finally get we go to the California. Was it California?
We missed the kidnapping.
We
skipped over the kidnapping, and we've also skipped over the scene where he pimps out his son for an arm wrestling competition.
Yeah. Oh snap! My bad.
So they're at like, I guess, an early pizza. Like, this is a scene practically out of Wizard, which Matt kept bringing up when we were watching it. But this is a scene like. They're in the back room of, like, a pizzeria. Like, a shitty pizzeria. There's a little arcade.
Pinball Mario machine.
And there is a kid who looks like Bobby Butnick. He just... Or a villain from a Mighty Ducks movie. And...
Iceland.
Lincoln Hawk just goes, who wants to wrestle my son? Like, again, he's pimping out this kid.
Yeah.
He was pimping out his kid.
He's saying he's the best. Anyone want to wrestle him?
I can see. I'm not a dad or anything, but I would want my kid to take after what I'm doing.
The family business.
I mean, he already drove a truck.
If he can get into my other hobbies like crochet and arm wrestling, like it might really be a thing.
We got to give a shout out to payphones, by the way, which you mentioned, which are disgusting.
Dude, I mean, in this COVID era, the idea that someone else would touch my phone before me is just horrifying. You brought this up too, Lauren, but like that greasy spoon at the beginning where like there's 200 people, no one's wearing masks, you can see the haze of the cigarettes over the top. It is something.
I do miss dive bars though.
But the woman's like, you want a steak? And you just know that it's like a steak that's this big, this thin, and they just threw it on the same griddle that had scrambled eggs 20 minutes before. Mm. And yet, that's the most delicious thing I can think of. Like some steak and eggs. Like the idea that a veggie has ever been on one of those plates is a joke.
Mm, except onions, man.
Onions and French fries. That's right.
But no, he pimps out his son to this random kid.
Yeah, with a mullet.
Right.
And he's like, I don't want to do this, Dad. He loses the first one horribly. He goes in the parking lot.
And makes him cry.
He's like bawling, and he goes. Now, if you lose this next one, I'm selling you with the truck. and the kid is like, okay, Dad. He's drying his tears. And he goes, my son's going to beat you double or nothing. Best of three. And he goes, all right, I'll eat him for dinner. And he's like, yes, son. Right? Like, because then, like, they grab each other's hands. They start doing it. He goes, go! Go! It's right? All of this is vaguely erotic. And it's very weird.
Yeah, it was.
making a lot of grunts, a lot of moans, a lot of subtle gestures, a lot of soft focus.
I wondered which movie is more gay, this movie or 300?
Still 300.
Still 300.
There's still 300.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also racist and homophobic, but it's still 300.
I don't think there's any homophobic things in this movie, but...
Nothing homophobic. It's just, I get the feeling that Bull is aggressive, but a generous lover.
Yeah.
Grizzly doesn't call back. Grizzly's just gone.
Yeah, Grizzly, right. Grizzly texts you at 2 a.m. You up. That's it.
You up, growl, and it's just, it's a bear face.
Exactly. That's right.
I also like the Apollo Creed guy who has like a posse and an entourage. Yes. And he's got his Budweiser shirt on, and then he just leaves the movie. Like, he just drives out of movie town. But it's because Hawk, like, beats him almost... It's not by cheating, but the second they say go, Hawk just throws his shoulder. But it's great. This movie is so good. We haven't even... But we're still an hour away from the wrestling competition because...
Because meanwhile, the father-in-law, even though Sylvester Stallone is bringing his grandson to him, sends a couple of his cronies to kidnap him.
That's they're celebrating his win at this like pinball wizard place, and they're celebrating his win in payphone. And Sylvester Stallone doesn't even know where his kid is. And so his kid is kidnapped. Yeah, you see him flexing in the back, and then all of a sudden he's kidnapped in this white truck.
Dude.
And so Sylvester goes after him in his truck to go get him.
And just proceeds to just wail the hell out of first one guy at this truck stop. Must have been in on it or something. And then sideswipes the car with his own son in it off into the dump truck and then wails on
this
the other two guys.
This movie gets so 1980s intense. Because again, this is a canon movie and there's no stunt doubles. They're just practically killing people in cars. They're driving through this LA street. It's like, it's just clearly LA.
It's live. They didn't do anything.
There was no testing. They didn't even tell traffic was going to happen. They were just driving through a real
street. Even when the kid went through traffic, they were like, listen, it's going to cost a lot of money to stop traffic. So let's just play Frogger.
The kid has a future. Maybe he shouldn't be in here, but these henchmen, they're just extras. They're just fine. We can kill them. Because like literally they end up in like a car graveyard and the Hawk pins them between his truck and a wall. Like, everyone's dead. Everyone is literally dead. And the henchmen run away, and the kid's like, thanks, Dad! And they're just fine, I guess.
I don't remember.
Yeah, they just kind of act like, they just kind of, I'm sure nothing happened.
That's right. And he goes, who are those guys, Dad? He goes, ask your grandpa. And then the rest of the movie, the kid trusts the grandpa, which, no, you don't trust your grandpa after he pays someone to kidnap you.
What's that confirm? The grandfather... Get some people to get them, or was just some random goons?
They weren't the goons from later, because we do have repeat goons.
It's true.
Yeah, douchebag grandpa has a couple thug types who hang around his mansion.
I like the one guy with like the Jerry curl thing going, and he's just like
the guy who looks.
We told you to go,
bro.
He looks like that guy from one of those Invasion of the Body Snatchers movies. He's got that curly hair and is pointing and screaming.
Oh, you're talking about
Mouth of Madness?
No. Donald Sutherland. Donald Sutherland.
Yeah, he's got that mustache, that hair. There's no pointing and screaming.
And we don't see his ass cheek, so it's not really Donald
Sutherland. I like the goon that's like, Mr. Cutler is talking to you.
Yeah, that's
him.
Yeah, that's him. Alan Graf. That's who you're talking about. Okay, Alan Graf. I mean, like, these dudes are just heavy set white guys. Like, I could have been a heavy in the 1980s.
I just want to say everyone's perm and curls were on point in this movie. Everyone who had a little curl was on point.
Even Sly Stallone, like, has some pomade in his hair. He's looking greasy. Moose. Oh, dude, it is something. Except for Bull Hurley, who is bald as the day is long, and I love it. I mean, he was buried with that handlebar mustache, and you know it. And he's still alive. No, he's dead. Oh, he did die. Okay, good. I got that wrong in the last movie.
Okay, good. I'm afraid he's to come after you.
No. We just I said someone was dead in the last episode, and he wasn't. So we got to keep on our toes here.
The undead bulls like show up in your bedroom.
All right. So the kidnapping happens, and it doesn't unsuccessfully, mind you. And then, I'm sorry, I cut to this point, but they get to California, correct?
They do.
And to the hospital.
The mom is fucking dead.
Well, yeah, she
No, I mean, they like walk into the hospital, he's put on his suspenders so you know it's an important scene, and the kid is wearing his military pants and, like, a tie, and, they walk in, they go to the, you know, the reception nurse or whatever, they're like, oh, we'd like to see, something Cutler or whatever, and they're like, let me get a doctor. And he's like, I bet you it's good news. And the doctor comes up and goes, oh, she died yesterday. Where yeah, were
right,
you?
Right. She died.
And you hear,
like in the front of the front desk and in front of everyone. That would never happen.
And little kid proceeds to totally lose his mind, call a cab to his grandfather's and split.
But, yeah.
Which, dude. He's right, though. Like, the thing is, the kid is pissed off, but he's like, had we not stopped for all of your nonsense, I would have gotten to see my mom one last time.
Yeah.
And he's right. The Lincoln Hawk's filled with nonsense. Like,
did he know his mom was dying, though? That was never made clear. Like, was this a shock to him?
Well, he's in military school. He's not being raised by his actual family.
Right.
So
no,
if the mom is sick and the dad, grandfather's busy with his job.
But did he know that? Did he know that, like, his mom was on the verge of dying?
Lauren, you're asking the wrong question. The question is, did the director know before he decided to kill the mom off?
Right.
Because, like, if you told me that Menachem blew a line and goes, you know, it'd be even more intense. It would be if the mother died. And you're just like, you're right, Menachem. You're right. Like, because Menachem Golan, like, again, like, this Israeli film director guy, just, that's how his movies go. Like, he'd be like, we've got the squibs, so let's make an explosion. And you're just like, okay, let's blow something up. Because, dude, they just must have had a bunch of white trucks. They're like, we have one too many. Let's destroy one. Like, come on, man.
So after the hospital scene, we go into the funeral scene. I just want to point out,
that funeral scene, like in the middle of the eulogy, he just shows up. He's like, he's
but he has a punctuality issue. Like, he's showing up all the time, and I can kind of see why he's been kind of a deadbeat for like 10 years almost.
Because right.
He showed up late to his graduation. He shows late to his wife's.
Yeah, he interrupts the eulogy, puts some flowers on the casket, and walks off.
I was
again.
Like, dude, read the, and he didn't even stay. He didn't stay.
And little kid starts crying again.
And he's like, my kid's crying.
The flowers. This is me just being a girl, I guess. But like the flowers, he didn't even take off the wrapper.
Yeah, that's right. And he just tosses them on.
He just tosses, and there's still a wrapper on him. Like, and it kind of, he looks sad. But I'm like, dude, he didn't even take off the wrapper. Like, that's cold.
You know, they said, you know, you said I would be late to my own funeral, but hence, joke's on you. I was late to yours.
Oh, that's bad.
Robert Loggia is looking, thinking, he's like, you know, this is paying for my new garage, and I just stay with it, Robert Loggia. Robert Loggia.
But that was one of the moments where I was like, this kid can act because he is just crying his head off. I felt so bad for him. Like, it was unreal.
Well, I mean, and in the next scene, when they're at Loggia's house, and Lincoln Hawk drives through the gate, drives through the garden, drives through the house, and
Grandma
the kid just starts crying again in the Adidas shirt.
What does the grandfather do that he needs?
I think he owns the truck company, because you see like a truck with the Cutler on it at the end.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Cause like,
so mafia.
I was about to say, because like he got goons, armed security.
If he was mafia, Hawk would be dead.
I think they tried to kill Hawk several times in this movie, actually. Yeah.
And it was the 80s, so they couldn't really like pinpoint where he was.
Right, I mean, like, this is Gotti shit. Like, he's going to be buried in the woods somewhere else. I mean, and it ends in Vegas, and he has goons in Vegas. It's not a hard leap to say mob here.
True.
Or maybe not in the mob, but works with the mob. But, like, that's why you have this estate with, like you said, there's a dude at the gate who's not, like, hourly. He's a salary, right? You know what I mean?
It's true.
He's a salaried goon in a gray pressed suit. Like, that's that is some ends he's got there.
Yeah. But I do, since we're talking about that scene, and of course, you know, they wouldn't allow his dad to come see him. I think it was unnecessary. Okay, you can ram the gate, but did you have to go over the expensive ass garden fountain and through the front door where your kid could have been like, "Oh, my dad's here!" Crash. I mean,
especially since the
Donnie Darko that shit. He's just in the road, just fun. Like,
especially since the grandfather's lawyer pretty much said that the grandfather had no legal case. Now dad has to go completely nuts and proceed to get charged with like destroying a guy's house.
Well, I mean, it
makes sense why they in the mob.
Right. I'm telling you. But I will also say, like, the dad's lawyers are, like, totally, like, because eventually Lincoln Hawk is arrested for driving into a man's house, right? And then the family lawyer shows up and goes, "Look, you're already in trouble. And then to hire lawyers, and then to get your kid back, and then pay the court fees, you can't afford it. So what if we make you a deal?" This is a scathing indictment of the justice system.
They basically just agreed to drop the charges if you renounce custody. You know, it's in that kind of interpersonal thing, you can do that.
Well, right.
Leverage.
But again, it's because he can't afford an attorney. We saw in the scene before the grandfather has no case. So he's only tricked out of giving up his son because he can't actually afford legal counsel.
But he'd also just destroyed half the guy's house with a truck.
Yeah, but that doesn't give up your kid. If I lost my child every time I destroyed property for no reason, I would have lost my kid a long time ago.
So you've got a secret, your secret demolition
that
derby
life. That was
a life.
Joke. You can stop.
I want to hear more about your secret demolition derby life, Nick.
But I mean, that's the point. Like, they trick him out of giving up his kid, which comes back later at the end of the movie.
Right.
Because he's like, what you did has no... He essentially says, look, what you did isn't legal. So when Michael comes back to him at the end, he knows he's won. Because giving up his kid that way is not legal in any sense of the word. I feel like we're going to have an argument like we did in The Fugitive, but like the movie makes it very clear that that's perfectly illegal. So Hawks gets out of prison, and then we cut to what I thought would be the entire movie, which is an arm wrestling competition.
That's what we waiting for.
It's like if Mighty Ducks started with Bombay's legal trial instead of just him getting drunk and becoming a coach right away, right?
Okay, I for some reason, I was like, was there a trial in Mighty Ducks movie?
Well, because the first Mighty Ducks is he gets a Dewey, and then he has to do community service, and he was like a college or an amateur hockey guy, so he becomes the coach because he gets that Dewey.
Right.
Like, but that's all before the opening credits. That's like that's all true. In fade in the first 5 minutes. But this movie takes an hour to get to the arm wrestling competition.
Before we get the cutscene about the Mighty Ducks movie, I do think that the new Mighty Ducks series should have been with Jesse Smollett coming back from his legal trouble from what he did, and then the coach of hockey team. But we can continue.
You know what you did.
Juicy Smollett. Okay.
I mean, I will say, Cobra Kai is the better version of it. I haven't watched much of the new Mighty Ducks show, and it's fine. It's fine. But, like, Cobra Kai's, like, the villain comes back.
Cobra Kai's amazing.
Cobra Kai is so good.
I need to watch it.
Dude, it's watch awesome. It. It's on
check it out.
Netflix now.
Yeah.
Netflix, yeah.
Dude, just do yourself an evening. You'll either love it in the first two episodes or you won't. But you're going to love it in the first two episodes or you can watch the whole damn thing.
I got
you. Because he's a loser. He's just a loser. He's drinking a bunch of crap beer. And then he's like, all right, hey, you. I'll teach you how to fight. And he's just like, okay. I guess he's just teaching his Puerto Rican neighbor how to fight. That's the movie.
Arm wrestling tournament.
So Sylvester Stallone has to go to this Vegas tournament, this arm wrestling tournament, to win the money, to get his son back, get a truck so he can start his own company, and I guess deal with his legal fee, whatever. So he finally gets to Vegas.
And on the outskirts,
as everyone would do.
That's right. On the outskirts of town, he sells his old truck with the Solo Flex in it for $7,000, so he can bet on himself and make back the money. And in this Vegas equivalent of Madison Square Gardens, everyone is turned out, and they're crazy for wrestling.
Many gigantic, sweaty men and women in extraordinarily high-waisted one-pieces.
Well, and there's a women's division.
Yes.
Which we see for all of 7 seconds.
I wanted to see more.
So that's what the sequel of this movie needs to be, is the female version of this. Ronda Rousey.
So what would it call? Over the top two, control top?
Over the top. Over the crop top. You said it, topness or something.
What?
Anyway, we'll come up with
it. Yeah, we'll come back to it.
We'll get into it.
But it is just, Well, and I mean, like, I can't pick the scene better. Like, there's, as Noir said earlier, there's what, a dozen refs in stripes, and they're all in various shades of bearded, mm-hmm. and tattooed, and earringed. Like, these are just washed out.
I don't think they were refs. They just came off their shift from Foot Locker.
Dude, I like, there's a Pirate of Penzance somewhere that they just all came from. And then they have three divisions, or four divisions.
Right.
They have the International Division. They have, like, the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Trucker Division. And Lincoln Hawk is from the Trucker Division. And you're like, well, that's stupid. No, it makes perfect sense. Right?
And because one of the prizes is this...
It's a truck! A vault! Dude, the product placement is so unsubtle. We've mentioned that before. But it's a Volvo. Like, they just keep saying the brand of everything, and I love it. Oh, I love it so much.
Meanwhile, back in... Mr. Cutler's house.
In Bel Air.
Yeah, Bel Air. Michael finds stashes of letters his father had written him that his grandfather had hidden from him.
Yes.
So he steals a car, gets to the airport, gets on a plane somehow to fly to Vegas.
Well,
and meanwhile, this is all fine.
And meanwhile, Cutler and his cronies are flying there too. Well, we have a series of sweat montages of various arm wrestling bouts.
Now, I don't understand. Well, what was it like to fly back in the day before, you know, obviously, with early 2000s, now you have show identifications and things like that. But
to your point, if I saw a car driving to the airport, bobbing and weaving, and then just drop my car in the front like it's a valet and get on a plane, I think I would be arrested as a child, as a minor, don't you think?
How'd he get the plane tickets? I mean, did he have, like, his own bank account?
I mean, he's a rich kid from Bel Air, so
he might have his own bank account.
You would still have to have a boarding pass. And...
That's true.
Well, I mean, it's also 1980 whatever. If you're confident enough and you're a white guy, you can just do anything, apparently, in this movie. Because he's also drives to the airport and he's 12. And no one bats an eye. Like, it's not just that he parks in front. Is that he steals a car and drives to the airport and no one cares. And he's 12!
And he did this on like an impulse. It's not like he planned anything.
Right. Yeah. And at the same time, I guess his grandfather catches wind, gets in his limo and takes his private jet to Vegas as well to cut him off.
And then meanwhile, kid uses his military school train to like escape and evade.
You say military school training. This kid hides under a suitcase.
Well, it looks like it.
We just have a little alone here.
Well, he backtracked through the boarding tunnel thingy from the plane.
To that door that's the exit.
Down back under the plane into the luggage and buried himself in it.
Yeah, so to describe what Matt's talking about, when he's coming down the gangplank there thing, right? There's that door that usually it's just the guys from the tarmac.
Right, and his grandfather's goons is out there waiting for him.
Yeah, and so he runs down, he jumps on one of the luggage carts, and then literally comes out the luggage ramp to a bunch of bemused women who are just like, oh.
I don't know, all I was thinking is my niece is 12 years old, and there's no way she'd be able to do some of this stuff or have the emotional capacity of what this 12-year-old was asking or saying. You'd be like, so Dad, if I go with you, where are we going to go? Like, my little niece is extremely smart, but she wouldn't die.
This is the most precocious kid. Matt got it right in the beginning. This is the most precocious kid we've seen. And we did The Wizard. Like,
he's around the same age as the Wizard kids are.
Oh, they were just filming across the block. Like, this is so much.
I will say this before we go into the arm wrestling tournament. As far as just, like, those two moments where they're having, you know, Sylvester Stallone and his kid are having, like, those heart-to-hearts, even though they're whispering, and the music is over, I kind of get the sense that the dad is just more of an emotional impulse guy, whereas the kid's surprisingly is more a logical guy, because he asked that question to his dad, is like, you have nothing. You know, so I will say this about the kid. Even though there were some times I didn't want to dropkick him, he did bring a lot of good logical points to everything, his whole family situation.
Again, the kid is... the only one paying attention to the plot. Like, he's like, are you kidnapping me? Shouldn't you have ID? Who are these people? Why am I wrestling children? Like, it's like, he's kind of the Greek chorus of this whole movie. And then we still end up in a wrestling competition. And I can't emphasize enough how, like that kid driving the truck, how herky-jerky this transmission is going. Like, because, like, we have these horrifyingly, like, dark scenes. Like, the mom has died. They're too late to say goodbye. And he's like, I should stay with my grandfather because you're a terrible father. I guess I'm going to a wrestling competition and my son hates me. Okay, movie, let's just go.
Hollywood.
That's right. And then, I mean, we got to get to this. But not only does the, like the timbre change, because the timbre does change at that point, but further, the filming style changes because we have these weird documentary moments where all of our main characters just look at the cameras like, you know, I've always wanted to be an arm wrestling champion, so I changed my name to Grizzly. I dropped out of Juilliard, and now I just wrestle for money. And
it's
just
they have their own promos, kind of. I love it. What would be your promo, Nick? Give me a quick little promo.
I had to give up teaching after that, you know, incident. So now I drive a truck and wrestle for money. Like, cause that's what they all are.
Oh, brother, I'm going to take your teeth and put it so far up your ass. You'll eat till next Wednesday. Oh.
That's right.
Okay, Matt, all right.
I'll just look at the camera and just blink. And I'll cut it.
that would be intimidating to me. I would be scared.
Thank you, Mr. Quinn. They cut away real quick.
Yeah. I'll be like, you know, I like expensive cheeses, and the only way to do this is to win. So, yeah. I don't have much of a good motivation. I'm a pacifist, and I'm wrestling is like the fighting of the arms. That made no
nice.
Sense.
I'm just going to stare at her and just blink.
You would win.
No, but Sylvester says, I don't care about the championship.
Yeah,
I just want to win. I just need to win this for myself. That's it.
Yeah. Well, and at one point...
The best motivation ever.
At the one right before the championship bout, like, you know, Bull's talking about how, like, the table's like my home, and so I've got to beat him because he doesn't belong in my home. And, like, Lincoln goes, I turn the head around like it's a switch because I think of my arm like a machine, like this truck.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he looks up at the truck and he's just like,
I like this truck.
That was an actor's choice. That was an actor's choice.
I wonder if, like, they just put the camera on these people and they said, just talk.
Just talk.
Just talk.
In character. You know, just.
And we're going to pick the best scene.
But it seems so natural, again, especially for Stallone, because, again, I think we talked about this. He's the co-writer.
Yes.
He co-wrote this screenplay.
Well, we did another one of his movies, another canon movie, in fact, Cobra, not long ago. And the thing about Cobra is, Cobra was based on a book. And when the movie came out, he helped write the script again. Not only did he want script writing credit, he went to the author of the book and wanted to get a co-writing credit on the book in future printing.
No.
Because, like, you know, when a movie comes out, they put that sticker on the cover that says, now a major motion picture, whatever it was. And so he goes, if you're going to say it was a major motion picture and I wrote that movie, you're giving me co-writer credit. And the publisher said, are you fucking kidding me?
Wow.
But, like, that's the ego we're talking about with Sly here. Mm-hmm. So, there you have it.
I kind of love that, though. Like, he doesn't back down. He does his own thing. Like, mm-hmm.
Well, and the scene is just, like, him looking at the truck, him, like, explaining, because he literally sold the one thing he had, which was his truck, to get here. And at the moment, remember, we know that the son doesn't hate him, but he thinks the son does hate him until he shows up, which is not until the semi, right? The semis?
Yeah. Which I will say, now, can anyone guess what's the one rule of this arm wrestling tournament?
Well,
double elimination.
They do it so many freaking times.
Dude, and the guy in the announcement was, double elimination, and that means that you have to lose twice. Remember, until he loses a second time, he is not fully eliminated.
Yeah, but we never see Meat Mountain lose at any point.
Right.
I mean, we're kind of theorizing maybe when he headbutts Sylvester Stallone for no reason that they ding him for that.
Spoiler alert, Hawk loses his first against Grizzly.
Dude.
But since it's double elimination, there's still some
after
hope.
After he drinks gasoline.
Dude, he literally cracks open Valvoline and he's like, blah, blah. And then he loses. Then he's popping some Alka-Seltzer later, which is, it's great product placement because he holds it out sideways and says, Alka-Seltzer.
Labels out.
That's right. This movie is so great. I like how Coca-Cola said no, and so Pepsi was right there to fill in the gap.
We got it.
The Royal Crown Cola, the official cola of arm wrestling.
It's either in Wikipedia or TV Tropes' movie that Cannon actually put on an entire arm wrestling tournament with that took a whole year and had people from all over the world. Just to get this enough people for this.
So do you like sign up for this? Do you have to tournament?
And the real arm wrestling champion is apparently this monstrosity bear of a man that they didn't think Sylvester Stallone could any way, shape, or form beat, so they just had him as an extra.
Oh, he does his curls, as we see. Yeah.
So I gotta show you, and you guys can come to this side of this. But Over the Top was, of course, a huge hit. And they made toys for it.
Nice.
Like merchandise? So you saw that thing. They put their elbow on a pad, right? And then they had a grip. And then these other pads that if you hit, you won. And so they had arm wrestling table platforms that you could get. And one right now is selling on eBay for $400. But it's the name of the game. Like, this is really the 1986 vintage Luco Over the Top Arm Wrestling Kids Table.
That's for kids?
For children.
And there's the picture from the movie, Over the Top, okay. Arm Wrestling with Sylvester Stallone.
Nick, your daughter needs us.
Oh, I mean, and of course there's action figures of Lincoln Hawk and such, but like...
That's all chest.
But I mean, this is the 80s. Like, there was a Rambo animated kids show. Like, and Sly Stallone is worth $1 billion, so if this movie cost $10 million to make, he was $1.5 million of it. Like, and Loggia was at least $500,000 of it, and everything else was just Valvoline and lubricant. Like, I don't know! This movie is so weird!
Yeah, because half this movie is hilarious because of just how over the top it is. And then half this movie is just so depressing because you have two people, both who are complete assholes, having a child custody dispute right after the mom dies. And so half the movie is ridiculous, half the movie is sad.
Well, and but that's the thing. Like, Lincoln Hawk really is a terrible father. And like, even though I ripped your letters, did you get like 100 letters? Dude, you still drove off into the sunset, and even if your grandfather, even if the father-in-law is an asshole, you do something. I mean, I don't know what the Romeo and Juliet-esque story was with the mom before she died of being a broken heart or whatever happened.
No.
But like, there has to be something. Mother, we get nothing.
Everybody makes mistakes.
The father-in-law owns a trucking company, so maybe Hawk was one of his employees or something.
Well, right. But like, you'd do anything. Like, also, women in this movie have nothing to say. Like, the woman's like, I'm dying. Like, it's like a Victorian movie where they just cough and there's blood in the handkerchief. That's her only role in this. And a waitress takes her, like, his order. That's the only... There are women arm wrestlers! It'd be, like, great if he got advice from one, or a woman had any characterization. No, nothing. Literally nothing.
Speaking of minorities in this movie, you kind of think that the one black dude in the movie, they were trying to get Carl Weathers to play him?
Great! Awesome!
Yeah.
Yeah, the poor man's Carl Weathers, because he's a lot skinnier.
Yeah.
But they were too early for Michael J. White.
But... Sylvester beats all of them. He beats like Alka-Seltzer guy. He beats
Budweiser. Poor man's Carl Weathers guy.
And then to get in the finals.
Mm-hmm. Well, we gotta talk about, like, I think the grandfather trying to do a deal before the actual semifinals.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Before the finals. Yeah.
Now, what exactly was happening? I was kind of lost.
I think he just offered him a big brick of money and a new truck to drive off the sunset. That's right.
Which is weird because, well, no, it's not weird. It's because of what Matt and I were talking about earlier, which is that even though he's technically signed over his son, he knows that it won't legally hold up, right? So he goes like, look, I'm going to give you a truck and I'm going to give you $500,000 to just leave and never come back, right? Because again, he goes, but I already signed the release papers or whatever, and the grandfather goes, it doesn't matter, I'm giving you the money, because the answer is, none of that would hold up in court. And Hawk goes, I'm not going to take your money, I'm not going to take your truck, because I think the idea is he understands that Michael still wants to hang out with him as his son. Right.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you might also get some projection here, like the grandfather is lecturing him about, you know, don't try and salve your guilty conscience or something. But here he is trying to pay Sylvester Stallone to basically go away.
Well, right. And he realizes that if he's paying me to do this, what he's telling me is not on the up and up. Right. So, like, we're staying in the Hilton Hotel. And he looks at this truck and he goes, this is the most expensive truck money can buy. Sure. And that's when he shoves the dude through the French door and he goes back to the arm wrestling competition. As though that it was just a pause that everyone took for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that guy takes out a whole chunk of that door. Not just like the door, but also like the frame.
Dude, and again, like this is where it becomes a canon movie again. It's like, again, you hire this huge dude just to break shit, and it's awesome. Also, we have to talk about the greatest character that's ever been in film. This, like, doctor from Arkham Asylum, who's the arm wrestling doctor, just fingering his, like, elbow joint. Like, with a huge bushy beard and the glasses. Like, what a great side story. As though he was, like, a pediatrician who lost his license and now he has to deal with arm wrestling. Right? Like, because he's, like, looking at Lincoln Hawks. It's like, oh, you might have torn something, so, here's an ace bandage with a big ice pack. Right? Because, like, so he's waiting out the rest of the movie.
That David Duchovny movie, Playing God, where he's, like, a doctor who loses his license and operates on mobsters.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's actually just, like, a vet.
Well, before we get into the actual finals, do you guys want to see the list of dropkick and hugs?
Sure. Oh, I would love to hear some dropkick and hugs.
Okay, first one goes when he's at the diner, and he said this place is a Victorian place of cholesterol poultry. I wanted to dropkick him.
Dude, grizzly steak on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. It sounds perfect.
Yeah. I wanted to give him a hug when his son said, like, you never wrote me. And that was kind of sad. And then he found out he actually did.
By the way, we should stop for only a second. How is that a dropped thread? If I wrote my son 100 letters and he's like, I never got a letter, that's something you're like, we got to talk about this.
Right.
Because, like, your grandfather, it's just dropped immediately until the end, of course, like you said. It's a Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
But, like, at a certain point, you got to be like, no, wait, you know, like, your grandfather's the asshole here. Because I did try, you know, like, I sent you one of those cards that when you open it, it plays Happy Birthday like a song, and there was a frog.
Did you get the $5 I put in there, too?
Right? Like, it said from the Toothberry, because your mom told me you lost the tooth, but by the time you got it, it was, like, 3 weeks later, so, like, you know, I get it, but she should have given you the $5. I'm sorry.
I even sent you a card for Flag Day, like, I mean, you didn't get that? Like...
I'm going to change my name to Lincoln Eagle because, you know, I'm so patriotic. But, you know, Lincoln Hawk has a good ring to it. So, like, it's like Link Hawk, you know, it's good.
I've sent you some sparklers before to dry.
And then they open the letters to his handwriting's all big, like it's a Danilian handwriting, like, yeah. Book. So it's like, dearest Michael, I would like to send you $5 for Flag Day because my favorite president is on it. I can't remember his name right now, but it's on the $5 bill.
By the way, I just bought a new Lincoln card.
I went to Target and I even spent like the $7.99 on the fancy card. Like, and it sings and everything. Like, you never got it? That's messed up.
When you open it, it plays Stars and Stripes Forever by John Philip Sousaphone. It's the greatest. Signed, your dad, Lincoln Hawks. And each time he ends the card differently. Sometimes it's Lincoln Hawk, sometimes it's Lincoln Hawk. Like this movie.
All right, give us some more.
Next one. He makes fun of his truck and saying, like, this seems like a zoo. I wanted to dropkick him. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like a Murphy.
Yeah. He keeps turning off the radio even though he doesn't want to talk.
That kid can go fuck off.
Yeah, I wanted to dropkick him.
The second you touch my radio, you better have something to tell me. Otherwise, I'm driving. I listen to my own radio.
Yeah. Another scene where I wanted to dropkick him. I don't see any books in this vehicle that you drive.
That asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these are a series of both dropkicks and hugs.
at the same time. After he lost his first arm wrestling fight with his son, he says, my grandfather said you were a loser, and why did you leave us? I just want to drop kick him and hug him at the same time. And finally, at the end where, you know, he sees his father and stuff, I want to just give him a group hug just together. I just wanted to go in the tube and just give him a hug.
So drop kicking and hugging him, is that like that episode of Fresh Prince where, like, Uncle Phil hugs Will, like, hours later, has not let him go because Will had gotten into trouble.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's a different one. Oh.
I know, right?
Oh. Not that scene. Let's
talk about hard punch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, also, no, this kid is going to need a lot of therapy. I mean, so much therapy.
I mean, along the same lines, at one point he goes, are you still hauling drugs? And he goes, I don't haul drugs. And you realize that the granddad said he was, you know, a drug dealer, drug seller, drug mule, whatever. But again, that's a dropped thread. You got to be like, no, it says right. Brute. Let me open the back of my truck and prove to you it's just filled with Budweiser or Brute or whatever. Like, cocaine, it's fine.
Yeah, those are not things you pass over, especially as a parent. Those are not things that you just kind of, like, throw away conversations. No, we need to talk about this.
The kid is 12. You can talk to him. You don't just laugh this shit off. He's like, I don't know. What did your grandpa tell me? Right? Because, and again, your mom is apparently, like, minutes away from dropping dead. And the one man you're with, he's never met before, apparently, and thinks is a drug mule. There needs to be conversations about any of this.
Listen, I just do Botox and HGH. There's nothing much that I don't do. It's not drugs. Botox. I don't think it's drugs.
Oh, God, help me. Like, and Hawks, like, deals with this by going,
I will say this. I pointed out, for the entire night, I was trying to do a Sylvester Stallone impersonation, and I couldn't. I just had to move my lips to the side and just do like this.
Yeah. Slow-mo when he's arm wrestling and his jaw goes limp.
So many slow-mo groans and moans and Sylvester Stallone making the weirdest facial expressions whilst moaning and groaning and flexing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And the final arm wrestling scene.
Yeah, so the tournament goes on without a hitch, other than that one dude whose arm literally breaks.
Was that for real, or was that just movie?
I mean, you're the one who said that they invested in an actual competition, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So,
wow.
Well, that guy kept talking about how he broke people's arms.
That's right. And, like, that's something that can happen, so...
Right.
Whatever. Meanwhile, in the background... As Lauren keeps pointing out, the more interesting movie is happening where there's a women's bracket that we just see, like, you know, occasionally a woman in a red leotard going, huh! Like, show us any of that!
Yep.
No, anything that was remotely successful, they're, like, making a remake of now. There needs to be a remake of this or a sequel or something and, like, do a female one.
Dude.
I think that'd be awesome.
Come on, Golan. You got this, man.
And instead of a truck driver, she's, like, an Uber driver. Or something.
She works in a big box. She's trying to get out from Amazon.
Exactly.
That's how she got so jacked. She carried those boxes.
There you go.
Nowadays, people just slap each other. Am I not mistaken? They just slap competitions rather than arm wrestling competitions.
Dude, okay. No. We got to stop here. So you have the East Coast, the West Coast, the International, and the Karen Division.
Oh my God.
And she wants to see the manager. Like, that's what we got.
And arm wrestle the manager. You know, some sort of Game of Thrones trial by combat for her order getting wrong.
We're getting too soft. We're getting too soft as a nation. You know, Reagan supported both the dojos and the arm wrestling competition.
I see. And ski lodges. But yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Menachem Golan was like, you know, Fox is making all these, like, karate movies. What if we came up with a new martial art of arm wrestling? And Turner's like, did you say regular wrestling? He goes, no, arm wrestling. You're in the Menachem, you can do it.
Seems cheaper, but yes, it is.
So much cheaper. Just as much leotard, testosterone, and whiskey.
So eventually, Michael catches up to his dad, and then Grandpa catches up with Michael and let him watch his father lose, just because Grandpa's such an asshole.
Yeah. He even says something like, we're going to leave after this or something.
Yeah, we're going to leave after he loses.
Yeah, we're going to leave after this. Like, by him, I wouldn't let the kid stay.
I mean, right? At this point, we're down to the final two, Bull and Link. And Link has the Master Sword, and it's going to go great for him. So, like, when they're about, they're in the middle of the first round, their hands slip apart, and everyone starts yelling because this is just unheard of. So they bring out these leather straps to tie their hands together, which is really just fetish wear, and it's really something.
They just had that on handy, by the way, too.
That's right.
Well, I think, like, afterwards it's going to be a knife fight. Right. So there's
Wait, you're a jet. You're a jet all the way.
cool boys.
And then Bull like kind of throws a left hook and cracks his nose open, so he's bleeding. Yeah. And we have our final bout, which is something.
It takes forever, but dude, we're on. You guys are screaming, and I was just like, ugh.
It's 4.5 minutes. It's so
over the top, ridiculous. We couldn't stop laughing.
It was what?
I just couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah. It's really something.
It's called that.
Well, it's not a rock. It's not a Sylvester Stallone movie. Cause I think what was it, Rocky One or no, Rocky Two, where him and Apollo are just trying to like ease up slowly. It's like whoever's gonna get up first and just come up and up.
Yeah, it's two. Although by the end of this, of course, we're talking like Rocky Five, where he's fighting the or Rocky Four, where he's fighting the Soviets, and there's like a robot for no reason. Like this, it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
This movie is a cartoon. Cause by this point, Grizzly has been drinking Valvoline and taking Alka-Seltzer. The dude wearing the Budweiser shirt has lost. There's a guy with a solo flex standing next to his son just going, yeah! Like, it's just, it's a, and all like the henchmen with Jerry Curl in their hair just looking for this kid. Like, and again, they're all 1980s heavies. So they're just tall guys who are kind of heavy set, right? Meanwhile, these wrestlers are bulked out to the point where they can't move.
That's true.
Like, Bull couldn't scratch his, like, wipe his own ass. Like, he's so inflated that he moves like the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. Anyway, of course, I mean, Sly wins.
Of course.
He wins, and he wins. He set it up, like, between betting on himself and all the different prizes. He's won, like, $500,000. And finally, he wins Grandpa's respect.
I guess. Finally. The kid sides with him, which, again, I'm sorry, though, kid. You go with your granddad, because your granddad, we established, not only raised him, paid for his schooling, has set up the college fund, and wants to take care of him, and now everyone else in his life is dead. Lincoln Hawks has abandoned you for a decade and a half, and I guess he's good at wrestling, because he beat up this Canadian or whatever.
But they had, like, a really good 3 days, though.
Like, yeah. The best 3 days. That makes up for 12 years of neglect.
I need to see a sequel to this movie and see how they're doing.
I will say, though.
They all end up on Mari.
Like a good 80s movie, though.
You are not the father.
I'm sorry.
And you see Grandpa, so. Thank God.
So cool.
Meanwhile, Robert Loggia's off Robert Loggia-ing and just buying a new kid, I guess. Oh, my God. But, like, I will say, though, this movie has the decency to just end. There's not, like, a lot of hoopla. It just starts playing another power ballad. Like, the soundtrack is garbage, but also it's the greatest thing I've heard all week. So, totally. You know, there we
go. So many power ballads.
So many.
Yeah. Well, we can wrap this one up. What's your final thought?
I enjoyed this way more than I thought I would. Just the way it was first described to me. I'd never seen it before. So, sure. I enjoy it way more than I thought I would. If it's just a silly, just fun movie for night drinking with friends, I would recommend it. But if you're looking for Oscar-winning performances or anything like that, not your movie.
Sure.
Oscar-winning facial expressions.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the father-son, you know, camaraderie in this and the trials the father had to do to be with the son after 3 days. I'd love to see a sequel to this, but... You know, the movie wasn't terrible. It was very enjoyable. And, yeah, like you said, I would watch this while drinking with some friends. So, yeah.
Matt?
This movie is too mood whiplashy. I mean, you one had to have the over-the-top sports testosterone drama, and then you have the real sad family stuff, and it keeps going back and forth, back and forth. So I'd rather not.
I agree with Matt. I wish the whole framing device was the competition, and then you cut to some of these other scenes. It takes too long to get to the wrestling competition, and I'm like, if you hadn't seen this before, would you feel the same way that I do? Yeah, because they set up that he's going to Vegas in like the second scene. We need to get there. Now, I enjoy it. Every time I see it, it's not what I expect, and yet I still come away fine. But, man, this movie is whiplashy. And it, like, and it's not just like emotional angles, like he wants to see his wife again. No, everyone fucking dies. Like, it's not just mild emotional moments. It's heavy emotional moments. Losing his kid, custody battles, like... Then I just gotta wrestle. It's like Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. Like, it's just like he's trying to feel anything, which does not belong in a stupid canon movie, man. But I will say, unlike Matt, I'm gonna go a little bit the other way. You gotta see this. Like, if you've not seen this.
You gotta see this. You gotta see this.
Like, it makes no sense. We haven't even described. We've been talking for over an hour, and I don't feel like it's so good. And yet it's so bad. Like, I don't know what the score is on Rotten Tomatoes, but it deserves it. Anyway, we're out. And I will say, talking to a missing member here, Sudsy, we are going to do an entire month on canon movies next season. I don't know what they're going to be. I imagine that since we've done Cobra this, and we're going to do Bloodsport, as Matt alluded to, we're going to do some Chuck Norris in the future.
Yes.
But, like, these movies are always that, which is... way out of control. There's emotions. A dude breaks his arm in this movie in real life. Like, and they keep the film. So, whatever that means to you, watch it.
Suffer for your art, people.
That's right.
You gotta spend her that, alright?
So, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. If you have not joined our Patreon, which Matt plugged earlier, why haven't you? You should do it. You get at least one extra movie a month, and every 2 months you'll have 3 extra episodes, because we do Mission Briefing every other month. And at the $10 a month level, we do movie riffs once every 3 months. And on top of that, we do our journals, our newsletter, excuse me, and we all contribute, and you get all those back episodes which we have removed from the main feed. So thanks for listening, subscribing, and please give us some new reviews. It's been a while, and this one guy in Australia says we're great, but crap. So, you know, replace him and be better. And thanks for listening, Australian guy. Although we just got knocked out of the list in Ghana, so if you're Ghanaian, listen to us more.
We salute you.
Come on.
We salute you, real dude from Australia.
That's right.
Come on, Ghana. We love you, Ghana. Bye.
Yeah. Peace. Thanks, guys.
Come back, Ghana.
My Opium Movies is a production of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Sedis. The theme song is Sherf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find his music on comtech.com. It is registered under the Creative 4 license. Our regular panelists are Matthew Quinn, Daniel Sudis, Nick Hoffman, and Jeremy Reigel. Thanks for listening. Please support our Patreon at patreon.com/myopia. Thanks, guys.